So welcome to Office Hours. For those who don't know why you're suddenly hearing a British person in your audio ears, as opposed to any other type of ears you have, this is Office Hours with me. I am Breville Bright, and I'm going to be answering questions about Resonate for the next sort of 30 minutes or so. You can add your questions to the following thread, which I've linked in a variety of places. I'm going to tag Office Hours again and let people know that we're starting, and then we'll go ahead and take a look at those questions. Keep those questions coming, whatever you'd like. New this week from last week is I moved the general thread for sort of general questions about Office Hours up to be a regular channel. This enables the at Office Hours tag to reach anyone that has it, whereas if it's in a forum thread, it only reaches people who have followed that thread. This should increase the audience at most Office Hours by, a little bit. It should also make it a little bit easier for things like the automation that I created to work. So taking a look at questions, we have, Yoshu says, what is the dog doing? It's weird because, like, in America, the concept of, like, a dog crate or kennel is quite popular, but in the UK it kind of isn't. I know that there's, like, mixed feelings on that. I just have it because I need somewhere to put him when I leave the house that he's safe in, and he's safe in his crate when I do that. He loves his crate all of a sudden, and he'll spend like large portions of the day there. Usually later on at night, he'll come out from his crate and nap on the couch or in his bed by my feet. But like, he likes spending in there. And when he first started spending time in there, I felt sad because I'm like, he doesn't like me. But no, that's his den. Dogs have sort of innate den stuff in their psychology, and it's his den. It's his safe space. He's there. He knows I'm here, and if I call him, he'll come. But he's just hiding out there. It's a normal, common thing. I check on him occasionally. And if I go to the bathroom, which is like, I have to walk past his crate to do that, he'll pop out and be like, oh, do you have time to pay attention to me, Prime? Do you have time? I'm like, oh, I'm still kind of doing a bit of work. If you need anything, let me know, though. And then when I'm done with work, he's like, oh my god, is it playtime? And I'm like, yes. For those of you who own dogs or have been around dogs enough, you know when you get on the floor, like when you get down to the dog's level and get on the floor, they're like, this is the best thing ever. My human is now a dog. This is awesome. So I do that a lot for them. I had something in the oven yesterday and I just like couldn't be bothered to go back to my living room. So I lay on the kitchen floor and played a dog until the oven food was done. That was cool. So on to the next question. Luzanth says, when talking to new subscribers about Patreon benefits, they're usually told it will take up to 6 hours for benefits to apply. Is that due to Patreon taking its time or something on Resonate's side? It's a matter of like all of those things. So what we need for your Patreon to be applied is all the details to be correct. That's the first thing, otherwise nothing's going to happen. But then the second thing is for it to be on the appropriate train. When I talk about trains, I mean it's like a figurative like language thing, a metaphor. Patreon's API takes a little while to update, so you might not appear on the API for some time. And then we need to basically line that up with a train, which is Resonate looking at that API. So it looks at the API. I don't actually know how often, but it looks at the API, and if you're there, you'll get in, and if you're not there, you won't get in. So it's how often Patreon's API updates, how often our stuff pulls it, and how often that runs. We can't run it like 24/7, like, you know, like boom, 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 because we'll hit Patreon's API limits, and it's also quite intensive to continue to process that stuff. So like our average time, and like it's a high average, it's not a low average, it's 6 hours. It should be much less than 6 hours, but just because we don't want to get your hopes up, 6 hours is what we start at. So we like undercommit and overdeliver, or whatever whatever that phrase is in that thing. So yeah, it's basically like should be between 6 and 24 hours. Most of the time is like 3 or 2. Sometimes we have issues on our end where the API key gets sort of reset, which is an issue I need to make because I'm done with it. I don't know if you've noticed, but when I get assigned to work on things, I tend to fix them as best as possible. You know, I go the full hog. So that's why I've been on email for a bit, because our team member Dante, they were like, hey, emails are being weird. And I'm like, I will fix this and it will never be a problem again. And it's now never going to be a problem again. Let's move forwards. Dogs barking. They like barking at the door. I'm trying to train them not to do that. But their crate is like along against the back wall of the apartment, so they're more sensitive to people walking past, etc. Let's go for Lex. Have you finalized the MSC voting system? Nope, I haven't even started. I got plenty of time. I've got a couple of days. So I'm good. How's the team been? Team's good. We're all I hate to say this, but we're all kind of like still recovering from launch. It takes a lot to run a business, and there are some items that, like, it's not that we didn't know that we needed to do them, it's that we didn't know that we it would take so long to do them, like paperwork and stuff. It's horrible. Like, you think you're done, and then 5 minutes later someone else sends another email to you and you're like, what the f what paperwork do I need to do? Gee. Let's move forwards. Gnop says, are there any plans regarding the recent consideration of soon planning for the new Resonate trailer? That's entirely on the sort of, I don't want to call them the media team because then people start quoting me. That isn't their official name. That's entirely on the combination of Nexalin and Theo. Theo is our video editor, and Nexalin sort of operating as a producer for that trailer. So that's entirely on them. I would encourage you to ask questions in the thread, which they created in the general forum for that, or maybe ask questions on the stream because that's sort of an impromptu Nexalin office hours that you get every week to ask them questions on that stream. So go there for it. Our goals are just to like be more accurate. Like what we want, like what I want from the trailer is to be accurate, right? So the trailer that existed at launch or just before launch was basically like, we're coming and here's us introducing the project Resonate, which is great, right? It gave you all hype, and it included the cloud home, which looks fantastic, but it doesn't accurately reflect what you do on Resonate. It accurately affects your like first 10 minutes as you enter into the cloud home, but it doesn't affect, you know, day one, day two, day three. You know, like it just has like basically the first hour. So maybe the trailer was sort of advertised first week. That might be a goal. Imerin says, did you say full hog? I did. Yeah, it's a really ancient phrase. I guess it's derived from when, you know, we sometimes still do that, where we you know, take an entire pig and like strap them to a stick and fire them and then eat them. Angry Bartlett says, how not to not receive notifications for office hours in Discord if I remove the office hours emoticon role in the channel but still get them. I hate to kind of say it, but like if you have issues with Discord notifications, you need to like double check that you've got everything done on your side. I just checked your roles, you don't have the office hours roles. And then you just need to go look at Discord's notification settings and configure them to how you like. They're mysterious, they work in mysterious ways. Any single time someone is offended at receiving a notification, it is an indication that they should take some action to prevent that notification from being hit. Whereas the current sort of mentality from the community is if they receive a notification, it is the notification producer's fault. This creates an unneeded anxiety moment whenever we use any form of notification, which also has anxiety because so many people say, we don't know what you guys are doing, it doesn't make sense, how do we keep up to date, etc. We basically can't win. So the only way to win is to do our best to explain to people how Discord notifications work, and then hopefully they will go ahead and configure them themselves. If you have too many notifications, please configure your Discord correctly. If you set yourself to do not disturb 24/7, not because you actually do not want to be disturbed, because you don't like pings, it represents an opportunity for you to reconfigure your Discord notifications. There we go. You'll notice how I didn't like mandate that you have to do it. I told you it gave you an opportunity. Because I know that most people won't do it, despite the fact that I've asked them to. Like, if you configure your notifications, you'll have a better time on Discord. Also, if you leave a Discord server, you'll have a better time. Just leave it, right? If you haven't spoken there in like 6 months, just leave it. The Discord server doesn't not exist. It's still there. You can still rejoin it later. But lots of Discord servers exist and don't need to be there. I was the sort of impromptu owner via a long chain I won't go into, long. Since 2019, it's been a thing. A Discord that was very popularly used, but then died. And this year, 2024, I just decided to just randomly delete it. And one person noticed and said, understood. That's it. No one else commented, DM'd me, or anything like that. Easton says, can I be in the Resonate trailer? You'd have to go ask Nexlin and Theo about that. There is a forum thread in general, I think, right now that you can go and take a look at it. Gnop says, a lot of work has been put into the settings review and rebuild from the dev team. What fun facts and interesting information can you share about that? It's all in devlog. I don't know what started it, but like what we wanted, or at least what I hoped for, was that the devlog channel would feel more informal, right? Announcements is super formal. It's like, you know, security or problems, things that you need to do, or big updates to Resonate. Devlog is meant to be sort of like jovial fun. Like I want our development team to have fun. And I'm seeing that appear in devlog. Like even the sort of like, you know, slightly comical updates about the website from Chroma, which is great to see. It was like, basically, I'm doing something cool and I'm a human. That's how I want the devlog channel to be. So you'll see that from me yesterday where I was doing some CI and it failed and I put that cat gif there. I was like, that wasn't that professional, but like, nah, it's fine. It's a, you know, a little more informal place. So yeah, it's all in devlog. Subspace says, is it possible for someone to on Resonite to knock VRChat API offline? So the only capabilities for making web requests inside Resonite right now are the HTTP GET node and the HTTP POST node. Both of those do a single request via Protoflux. If you would like to take a API offline, not that I would recommend or suggest that you do this, you'd probably be looking in something like Python, or even some people just use curl. You know, there are better DDoS applications out there running a full 3D VR game engine just to make a post request seems ridiculous. Given like any computer, I could probably make some sort of like DOS attack against any API very quickly. However, as it would be one computer, it probably wouldn't have much success. When discussing illicit activities, a reminder, I do not intend to carry out those activities. I am just talking about the technical aspects of those being ridiculous to be performed in actual Resonite and much easier to be performed from a Bash script or a Python script that I will not write but could theoretically write. I also don't like the term crack or hack. I want to reclaim those to mean actually crack or actually hack, because a lot of times people go like, yo, my Discord got hacked, and what they mean is someone sent them a, hey, can you test my game, and then they click the link, which isn't hacking. You, the person, were hacked. And don't feel bad about that. That's just social engineering, right? And social engineering attacks are like the new type of hacking. But Discord was not hacked. That's unfair. That's inaccurate. Your brain was hacked, and you clicked a link, and you compromised your account. And framing it that way does make you feel terribly bad and silly, yes, but it creates a path forwards for you to better your security, which is next time I won't click sussy links. Whereas if you just go around saying, Discord, my Discord was hacked by Discord, right? You put the blame into another camp, and then you don't analyze your own sort of existence to make an improvement there. The same with cracking, right? Cracking a game used to be, you know, removing the copy protection or sometimes the CD requirement from a game. But now again, cracking's like, I pinged your publicly available endpoint and found publicly available data, and I'd like to report it as a security issue. We get about one of those about every couple of months. They're like, if I go to like api.resonite.com/users/probable-prime, it tells me probable prime's username and user ID. And we're like, it sure does. And it will continue to do that as long as we're able to. Because it needs to, because that's functionality of our application. So Epic Eason says, when I say my Discord is hacked, I'm referring to the account being under the control of a third party. So the precision of language there would be, my Discord account is compromised by an unauthorized individual. I would accept slang versions of that, etc. But again, it's my Discord is not hacked through me clicking a link. I gave them the Discord token, which is on my computer, directly to them. The equivalent way of me giving you a slice of cheese. The reason I want to reclaim those words is because we have a technical literacy problem that is cropping up in society. Most of the newer generations, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, don't know how to do anything that isn't driven by an app-based interface, such as an iPhone or an Android device. So things like saving files, folders, etc., are starting to become less known. And that means that, like, I'm worried about the technical capabilities of that generation. We also have a lot of accidental forced helplessness, is like the quote. There's an amazing video by a content creator about forced helplessness. Learned helplessness, that's the one. Not forced, learned. By the way, this creator, I love their research. They have so much research, and if you look at the captions, like they've got like all the TikToks they referred to, all the research articles. So just a very good video, very good channel. I didn't realize how much work went into her videos, but you can actually just hear it in like the way that she speaks in those videos, which is great. All right, let's take a look at the additional questions rather than ranting about society. Quantum Cat says, will setting up a forum considered instead of it using Discord? I'm not a fan of using Discord, as it's a closed community that's not searchable or indexed from the outside, requires players to create an account and accept TOS, and if it dies, Discord dies. And it dies if Discord dies. I hate Discord. I like Discord for anything that isn't my day job. And my day job is Resonate, right? So we have a problem that just exists everywhere. And you probably are, you know, carrying out similar stuff for that, which is Discord is it's not clear what it's meant for, because it keeps adding features that allow it to be used for everything. For example, Discord is not a knowledge base, bug reporting tool, support tool, moderation tool, knowledge, I've said knowledge base before, image library, all these things. It is not that, but it is being used by that by a lot of Discord communities. I know some communities where it's like their entire existence is driven via a Discord server, like the roles you get on like a, you know, survival server for Minecraft or whatever, driven by Discord. The donations are driven by Discord, and it's very problematic. A forum might be a good idea, but the problem is then we'd have to sort of moderate, manage, and operate that. And it seems like the Discord is just working out better than that might be. For some added context, Mixer, the live streaming application that I worked on before this nonsense, we had a forum and we shut it down because it was mostly spam. We are a community server, so we should be more accessible than most Discord servers. Gnomp has refreshed their question. Actually, just a quick jump over to Rexton's question. Rexton says, Discord hired a lot of people, Apple fired from iMessage, who fights a lot of people who were from the TeamSpeak Ventrilo days. I need a source for that. So another thing is, like, when I was in school, I don't mean to belittle or condescend here, but I just mean to, like, illustrate the problem. When I was in school, people, like, literally were, like, harping on about primary and secondary sources whenever information was shared. So I want that to become, again, more sort of popular in the community. And again, this is just me being on my soapbox, but it's just like, I heard that this happened. It's like, okay, where did you hear it from? What did you hear it from? How can I read more? How can I know more information about this? I posted to my Twitter, actually, because periodically we get the sort of at everyone tag in random Discords, and it's like, this Discord account is mean and can steal your computer and, like, you know, launch nuclear weapons. And it's just like, can it? You just sent me a weird screenshot and at everyone to me. I don't understand. So, like, link your sources, please. Because some, and I don't know if it's all, so I can't say all, because otherwise that opens you up to a protection gap. But some of those screenshots, like, this user is bad, are actually just witch hunts. So it's just, like, someone was offended by someone or there was a disagreement. And instead of, you know, resolving that, they're like, I'm going to pretend that this user's a hacker and send it to as many Discord servers as I'm in, and then that person gets a really bad reputation, and it's completely unjust. So you got to take those a grain of salt. But Gump has expanded the question, says that they were more hoping to dive into discussion or highlight events that occurred that were documented in Devlog. They're all in Devlog. There is extra stuff from those, but most of that's just like the discovery that came up to the point where that code was changed. So I don't think there's much more I can highlight from Devlog other than Devlog itself. But we'll try looking at the rest of your question. So development seems extremely active in building towards multiple new foundational changes to Resonate as a platform. That's our goal. There is stuff moving everywhere. I just fixed two Protoflux nodes, like, for example, just right now, like 5 minutes before all the office hours. For instance, is the settings menu revision extending to UI in general? It will extend in a lot of places. So, for example, on the settings UI, what we need a lot for settings is sliders. So we need a slider that moves from left to right that can increase volume or other things like that. We need a generic slider that is applicable to all scenarios that sliders have. At like a web design studio or like a web app, a UI designer would design that slider, and that slider would fit the branding, look, feel, accessibility goals of that company. And then anytime a slider is needed, that slider would be used. That's why like React and stuff like that are really popular, because you can basically say, like, every single time a slider is on our UI, it uses the slider React component, and that has been designed by a UI designer, and it looks great. So that's one of the things that we're doing with that settings design, is we're trying to sort of get those UI elements great and then maybe flow them in. So there's a high chance, not promising anything, but there's a high chance that some of the new UI elements that you might see developed in the settings area make their way into things like inspectors or other areas of the UI to make those better. The Gein source rendering engine, let's refer to it as the Void Anchor source rendering engine. Gein's is one of the primary developers over at Void Anchor, but there are other people. There are great people over there. One of them is Earthmark. Earthmark is like the beautiful soul that I wish I hung out with more. They're just amazing. It was their birthday recently. I gave them a nice bottle of whiskey. They enjoyed it. Speaking of awesome people, a video game developed by a member of the community here was published on the 22nd, I believe. It's called Pacific Drive, and it is amazing. I won't give the community member's name just in case they don't want to be highly blasted here. I don't know. But again, great game that they made, Pacific Drive. I'm playing it a lot. And also, they're an awesome person as well. I wish I hung out with more as well. Whenever I hung out with them, they are amazing. So yeah, keep in mind that multiple people that maybe don't, you know, you don't see that often or don't make much noise are also involved. The Void Anchor team is a number of people. While Geens is the main developer, there are a bunch of other people. But yeah, that is being worked on, and I'm excited by that, but I'm also apprehensive at the complexity there. I trust that the Void Anchor team and Geens will solve the complexity, but they've got a lot of work on their plate, and it's also a lot of work that I can't necessarily help with, because I'm not like a rendering developer. But Gnop's last part is, to be more concise, what interests you, what points are worth touching on? I think I've got them from based on my answers to the rest of your question. I think we got there. You can always check what I'm doing. Yes, you can always check what I'm doing here. Other team members don't have similar views. I do. It helps me work better, helps keep me accountable, etc. So it's there. But also take it with a grain of salt. Like, sometimes I don't touch that list for days, and that doesn't mean I'm not working. Sometimes it does, but sometimes it means I'm doing stuff on another area of the platform that isn't on that list. For example, some private development. Let's see, next. Epic Easton says, any discussions on getting the Discord server verified? I don't understand how that works. We'd have to look into it. I do want us to look into the onboarding flow. Discord has this like onboarding flow, and it can like help point you to the correct channels, etc. So I want that enabled. Epic Easton asks, what are the two Protoflux nodes that I fixed? You can see that on the link that I just pasted. That's that question. So we've done Gnomps, we've done Easton's two questions. Moving down to Cyber Warlock, is it possible to make a Resonite bot to handle adding removing contacts on a whitelist? Also, are there any plans on adding a whitelisting system? Not entirely sure what you mean there, but it would be applicable. For just some added context, and anyone that groans here, I just want you to remember the world that we live in. Use the term allow list and block list. You can also use other varieties of that, but we don't use the term whitelist and blacklist now. I know that they're still in the UI, and that's because we have no way to sort of upgrade them or migrate them away from those terms, but it's something that I'm trying to get done. Most large companies don't allow a whole bunch of terms, and whitelist and blacklist are on those right now. If you disagree with that, I want you to just take a good look at the society that you're a part of and move on. But if you're looking to control who has access to a session, I'd recommend a headless, which has a whole host of abilities to do that. And you can also look into custom join verifiers. I wasn't aware of how like cool the custom join verifier scene was inside Resonite. But there are a bunch of people that have got like panels and stuff where they get like a doorbell sound goes off, and then they can look at the panel and it's like, Bob wants to join, and then you can hit like yes or no, and I'm just like, great. Like, I knew that you could do that, but I didn't know that someone had done it, if that makes sense. But yeah, headless also has other things, like there's cloud variables, friends, of course, because it like don't underestimate the power of having a second user account for that headless to run on. For example, you could set it so only people that are friends of the headless are allowed in. And then you've got quite an easy, manageable way to handle access control. Or only people that are friends of the headless get admin controls in the headless world. Again, that's quite an easy way to add access controls, using the friend list as a sort of list, rather than using the friend list as a list of friends, or contacts, as it's called. Or friends, sometimes. There's bugs on that. Lucas says you could do a doorbell thing with a custom join verifier. People are doing it. I don't know how they're doing it, but people are doing it. It's very rare for me to come across that scenario like that where I don't know how it's done. Like, someone shows me something that they've made and I'm just like, yeah, I can sort of estimate how that was done. That's very cool. But sometimes I see stuff and I'm just like, oh, no idea how you're doing that. Colin follows up with whitelist, blacklist, changing to allow list, and blocklist, and master slave, turning to master secondary, yes, main secondary even. There you go. After Dawn says the Neolanders have one that does it. It's great. Like, just like build cool stuff. Like, if I'm surprised, you've done a good job. I had this new user yesterday, it was sometime last week or so, who was so excited. They were a brand new user to Resonate. So I was, you know, welcoming them, having a nice chat with them. And they kept going, look at this cool thing someone gave me. And they spawned out something I'd made. And then they spawned out another thing I'd made. And I just was like, oh, wow, that's cool. Because I didn't want to be like, yo, I made them. I want to steal the moment from them. I wanted them to feel cool that they'd found that stuff. With that, I think we're at the bottom of the list of questions. If anyone could respond with some questions. I've got a couple more minutes here that we can sit here and answer questions. Draconis bought Pacific Drive because you mentioned it. It's working. Pacific Drive devs, you got like a creator code. Yeah, it's a really good game. It's in a couple of people on like the community of Pacific Drive and gaming in general have dubbed it like a looter rumor, because looter shooter is like a well-defined genre. But the general principle of Pacific Drive is you have a car, and your car is your baby. You look after it, you repair it, it saves you, you save it, and you drive around the Olympic Peninsula collecting items, seeing spooky stuff. Story I don't want to spoil, but it's just great. Like, I painted my car blue today, and I was like, oh my god, my car is now blue. This is great. You'll have a lot of fun, particularly if you're from the sort of area that Pacific Drive is set in, which is that Olympic Peninsula. Sounding in the area, you'll feel it. I lived here. I've lived here for like 5 years in that area. It is pretty damn accurate. And lots of the item descriptions, which apparently were written by one person, are very tongue-in-cheek about living in that area. I'll move on to the question now, though, so I'm not just a walking advertisement. Gromp's got some big words. They had a question on platform content variety. As a forward, I don't have a fresh perspective or any perspective for the matter on Resonate's existing content outside of screenshots and video clips. However, it is my understanding the MMC is, as a concept, is primarily a contest enrichment function gathering. The inferred goal would then to be showcase or add to the overall richness of content in Resonate. Though I also understand that it's entirely community run and maintained. What are your thoughts on more events or the same variety or something completely different were to come in the social sphere? How do you think additional social organizations would affect the platform as a whole in current or near future states? Only positively. Make more events. Make more groups, but don't do the sort of weird private group thing where you're like, oh, we're going to like hide away and be secret. Like, make more public groups. See the wiki. Like, there's a few groups appearing on the wiki where it's like, here's who we are, here's what we do, here's some screenshots, here's our Twitter. Beautiful. Let us know what you're doing in Resonate. But just make more events. Like, if we had, say, another MMC in April, May, it's unlikely that we would get the same sort of entry requirements and entry counts because of you know, people being burnt out from MMC. But there's nothing stopping you. You could do like a monthly jam that had a prize or something. Creator Jam does a weekly jam. So, you know, you just, whatever it is. Altspace VR is shutting down now, so I don't know if I can link to their website as accurately as I could, but like Altspace VR used to have an event, like an event screen. And on that event screen, you could just see the depth and breadth of the events that existed on Altspace VR. Like next to Campside Christians, which was an event for Christian users to go in and sit around a campfire and just discuss their faith, was like open mic night, where people would stand up and yell slightly rude jokes. And next to that was like artists event or whatever, and people would meet up in Resonate and discuss art. Like, all of that is possible, but none of it's happening. And it might seem stressful now, but you gotta remember that one person did it, and they did it years ago, and they did it with Creator Jam. And all they did, they've done a lot more since then, but all they did to start was they committed to making a space where someone can build and create positively every week. That's all they did. And they show up every week to Creator Jam, with a few exceptions, but they try and show up every week to Creator Jam and make that event successful. I see a lot of people who make events and then they give up, or they stop them, or they have a break with them. That's fine, but then maybe make it a bi-weekly event or something like that. But just keep running it. Like, there was some person who did, like, Christmas movies around the Christmas period. And legalities and DMCA aside, etc. Great. For the entirety of Christmas, there was a Christmas movie playing every day. Just, like, do it. Like, I would love to go to an event, whatever the event is. The most recent, I don't want to, like, you know, highlight anyone's in particular because people feel left out. But one of the ones in particular I'm looking at as being like, yep, I can see this growing and that this will probably be larger in the future is the Resonite Dance and Fitness Discord. They have regular events where they just get together and dance. I know that, like, dancing in VR is a huge, huge thing. And they made a Discord and have got it together. I'm not entirely sure who's on the sort of quote team there, but I know that Hammo runs the event, so just do it every single week, make an event. 9809 says, regarding Gomp's question, what is the roadmap of adding OSC? OSC is like an overloaded topic. If you want OSC for music stuff, I would love to help you out. If you want OSC for face tracking, you can sit in a corner until we figure out why that's happening, because OSC should not be used for face tracking. There we go. If there's not an issue for OSC for music, make sure you create that on the GitHub. The JebForge asks, did tools created during MMC ever be turned into components because they're so good? Not that I know of. Like, I'd have to, like, look into the development history to see if there was. There's probably one instance of it. One of the things that the development team try and do, and by this I mean engineering, so, like, you know, there are sub-teams within the Resonite team. It's basically anyone that can touch the code, which is anyone now, but it's anyone who actually touches the code. We have to be careful during the MMC month, both to keep things stable so that we don't introduce any oddities, but also that we don't introduce any unfair bias. So, for example, if an MMC entrant comes to me and they're like, I'm working on this entry, it's great, but, like, this one thing, this feature would make my entry better, I shouldn't implement that during the month of February. Doesn't happen a lot, but if that happened, I'd have to say no. A good example would be like, hey, our entry would really shine if we could get this one thing into the code base. It's sort of unfair, so we'd have to sort of watch that. But I'm sure there's some items. Aaron says that they joined a karaoke world once and haven't seen it since. Yeah, that's a good example. It's like another thing to think about. There are, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 varieties of Among Us on Resonite. No one ever plays them. Now, are you not playing them because it's a bad implementation of the Among Us like pattern? Or are you not playing them because Among Us is dead now, which is also fair? Or are you not playing them because you're not aware that they are there? Or are you not playing them because you don't think about it? Like, right now, go log on to VRChat. There will be a large collection of people playing some variant of Among Us. There will be a lot of people playing Murder. I don't know what version of Murder, because there's like 5 or 6 over on VRChat, but they'll be playing Murder. And for some people, that is enough to make them want to log in. They're like, I want to play games in VR, and they've got games there. And we on Resonite have the capability of doing that, but I don't see any games that are regularly played. Sometimes I wonder, like, why we even have worlds, because 90% of worlds I spend time in are like a grid with a bunch of inspectors. Easton says, we're not playing them because we don't have enough people. Easton, start a weekly event, Epic Easton Thursdays, where we play Among Us with Epic Easton as the host. And then run that every single week, once a week, for like as long as Creator Jam has, and you'll get people. The consistency is the problem. I think the version of Among Us that I worked on supports VR. Also, Easton, you have VR now. I know you don't like using it, but you have VR now. Let's take a look. Rexton made a comment about automated moderation, basically. I mean, more than that, but I'll just summarize. We don't want to get any automated moderation. There is something which could be automated, but it's automated, like, alerting that moderation needs to happen. So an example here is, like, if we notice any suspicious activity from a user, it might flag them to be observed or looked at or investigated, but it should never cause action. It should just be a, like, hey, this seems kind of sus. Take a look at that. We want any moderation decisions, like, you know, actual action items, to be manual human interventions. Rexon says 90% time in grid is a performance issue. Disagree. I exist and hang out in many worlds which aren't a grid that have no performance issues. Fuzzy Fox says, how performance heavy is having tooltips on your avatars nowadays? If they are stock standard tooltips, rather than multi-tools or anything like that, fine. Don't worry about it. If they are multi-tools that have inspectors in them, consider not doing that. Easton says that they're not in any capacity to be able to run an event community. I understand. You're just an example because you were there. Whatever you do for the community is appreciated. Thank you, Easton. Moving forward to Gnomps, who says... Okay, they're basically asking how much of a priority additional moderation tools are. Moderation have a list of stuff they want us to do, and I hate the fact that I can't work on that most of the time. Like, I want to get to whatever they want as quickly as possible, because they keep everyone safe, and that's vitally important. It's just some of the issues and some of the things that they want might take, like, months to implement. Some might take minutes, but it's a function of development. It's very difficult. I am doing something in the area of moderation, why sort of, like, it's tangentially related to moderation, which is clearing our security backlog. We have 29 security reports open, and most of them are sort of, like, if I do this, it crashes, and... that's okay, right? But they're still security reports, so we've got to get rid of them. My reason for doing that is so that if a security report comes in which is much more alarming, such as like remote account access or something virus-related or something like that, I would maybe miss it right now because it would be in a sea of 29. So I want to get that number as low as I can, such that any new report doesn't just become the 30th report, it becomes the this month's first open security report, which is a lot easier to sort of reason about and look at. Afternoon says, what about the people who can only play Rezo in screen mode? That's perfectly fine. Most games should endeavor, I know it's difficult, but should endeavor to support desktop mode. If they don't, that's fine, but that's a decision that they can make. It's not one that we can make. As a platform, we can make screen mode easier to interop between VR. Easton says, the official Resonite multi-tool is likely okay. Yeah, the official Resonite multi-tool is fine. It's really like the amount of complexity that you add to the tool is the problem. So if you add a custom inspector to the tool, that means that you're carrying that around and that could potentially have some issues. Gnomp says, going to call last questions, it's 44 past. The desktop mode input list feels very similar to a model editor such as Autodesk. Blender is potentially on the list to have further screen mode features. Yes, would love to have additional screen mode features. One of the things I'd like to see is like UI pinning. So it'd be great, for example, if you could pin an inspector to the right-hand side of your screen and then still move around in desktop mode. I think that would be really powerful. And it would also resemble Unity a bit there. Fuzzy Fox says, I think you use a gesture and it summons one of the tools. There are some custom tools that will cloud spawn a custom inspector, but as we have no standard way of doing cloud spawning, I don't know which way or method they're using cloud spawning, so it's difficult to look. Easton says, yeah, I created like my personal inspector, it pins to your view visual. Great, love that people are doing that. Better if we could make that easier for people, because lots of people say like, I just want it to look like Unity, and I'm like, okay, well, pin an inspector to your right, split it so that you've got the inspector view on the right and then the hierarchy view on the left, and it's Unity. Easton literally created that too. We'll post it in user creations, and hopefully we'll make it a native feature at some point. My doggo has woken up and wants to go for a wee, so we're going to go ahead and close off here. I do have, Alex Tupai says, despite my familiarity with Resonite, I have a bit of a problem finding maps games. Go to the world browser, try that left-hand list that has games on it. Not many people use those. If your world has a game or games in the tags, it will appear in that game list. So make sure that your games have those in the tags. Rexton says, what GPU and CPU do you use? That information is not relevant to my studio development or anything like that. I can tell you, it's not relevant. Like, don't make my computer specs like any data point other than they are my computer specs. Some studios force developers to play the title on min-spec. Hello Dogman Studios would have to be paying me a lot more money to force my personal computer to have different hardware. I don't know my CPU, and I'm on a 2080 Ti right now. That's why I have the potato badge, by the way. My computer's old by today's standards. It's very fast, though, still. Like, it's good. Like, I am grateful that I have what I have, but I recognize it could be, like, probably like double as good if I just upgraded to like stuff from 2022 and beyond. Yeah, I can't be bothered. It's a processor. It used to be like easy to figure out which processor was better than another processor, but now it's like playing top trumps. It's very difficult. I remember that like my processor suffered from the whole thread bleed problem. Like, I don't think it's got some form of accelerated multi-threading because of the heartbleed problem that occurred. Like, honestly, I bought it like probably 3 or 4 years ago, so I have no idea. I need to upgrade it, but like that costs money, and I don't have, like, I do have that money, but I don't, like, budget don't allow for it. It might allow for it if my previous rental would ever give me my deposit back that I'm owed. They're going to be end up with a court summons if it continues. It's basically like, hey, I moved out, give me my deposit back. And they're like, yes, but the deposit has, you know, deducted fees for cleaning and stuff like that. And I was like, yes, but my deposit was an entire month's rent because I had no credit. So I don't imagine that you spent my rent on repairs or anything, because I know how I left the place, and I have about 300 photos of how I left the apartment when I moved out. Anyway, that'll be it for today. I will go ahead and close things off here. Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you've got any further questions, feel free to contact me via any of the other means. Hi, dog. Yeah, dog is doing all the please take me outside movements. Goodbye.